The sun is shining, we've been eating chocolate, and today we celebrate that Jesus is alive and give thanks to God for all his goodness to us. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter!
Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Come on everybody, let me hear you say, Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Let's have a party and celebrate. Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Come on everybody, let me hear you say, Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Let's have a party and celebrate. Oh, 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 ah, ah, oh, oh, ah, ah, oh, oh, it's a happy day. Oh, 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 ah, ah, oh, oh, Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Jesus is alive,
Jesus is alive.
He's not in the grave,
he's not in the grave.
Life has been given,
life has been given.
It's a happy day,
it's a happy day.
Oh, 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 oh. It's a happy day. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Jesus is alive.
Gracious God, we thank you that you are always with us, whether things are straightforward or seem too hard, on days that leave us sad and empty, and days when we feel full to bursting. We come to you with our doubts and our frustrations, our hurts and our mistakes, to discover that you know us and you know about all of that. And you still welcome us to enjoy friendship with you. And you're with us today as we celebrate all that you have done for us through Jesus, your Son, who died for us and in our place, but who lives and reigns with you so that we might truly live with you, with one Spirit, as part of your family, now and forever. We thank you for the promise that Easter brings, of your never-ending love, of your mercies new every morning, of your great faithfulness. Help us today, whether it's for the first time or the thousandth time, to taste and see that you are good through Jesus Christ, your risen, conquering Son, our Lord, our friend, our Saviour. Amen.
Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them,
"What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
"Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?"
he asked.
"About Jesus of Nazareth,"
they replied.
"He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel.
And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but couldn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus."
He said to them,
"How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly,
"Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying,
"It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon."
Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul. And my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and bled for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul will ever be. In glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song will ever be.
Thinking about God's words, the psalmist says, "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb." God our Father, as we consider and question your words for us, help us to see that treasure. Help us to taste that sweetness. Amen. They say that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now, I doubt that's strictly true, though I've noticed that the way I feel and the way I feel about everything else improves greatly once I've had my first cup of coffee in the morning. Now, our bodies need to be fed. They need food to move and grow and heal. You cut food out. Some of us find even if we cut food out for a couple of hours, our bodies let us know about it. It's simple biology. But there is more to our lives than simply powering a biological machine. Now, we can draw a distinction between, on one hand, simply being alive, and on the other, truly living. And if we didn't have this distinction, the reality of lockdown life would be much easier to live with. But we hunger for more than just food to keep us alive. We long for beauty, we long for meaningful relationships and for purposeful activity. And this true life is actually far more to do with God than it is to do with food and calories. And the resurrection of God's own Son, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate on Easter Sunday, points us to a life that is more than mere existence. And actually, it invites us into a life where we find truth and meaning and relationships restored with God and one another that offers us hope. The finality of death is overturned. And the futility of life that is so often spoils our experience of being alive is suddenly cast in a completely new light. Let's see how this unfolds in the story we heard from Luke chapter 24. Cleopas, who was part of the wider circle of Jesus' followers, and another disciple are on the road. And they're heading home, back home. Things have not worked out. So for them is really a backward step. It's a retreat. They'd followed Jesus. They'd followed him right up until things came to a shuddering stop with betrayal, with arrest, with that sentence. Jesus was to be crucified. And then the event itself as Jesus was nailed upon a cross. Jesus died. And for them, life of a sort goes on. But the life that they imagined or dreamed might be theirs with Jesus is dead without him. And as they walk, they talk. And the subject of the conversation inevitably is Jesus. They're processing out loud all that's happened. They've got 7 miles ahead of them. So what's that? Depends what speed you walk, but maybe 2 or 3 hours to pass. And at some point along the way, they're joined by this third figure, this stranger, who's glad to share the road and the journey with them and to enter into their conversation. He asks them what they're talking about. He asks questions and they attempt to answer. But the subject matter brings them to a standstill, their heads hanging low. And hard news, I suppose, is never easy to share. Even with a stranger. But they do their best to put him in the picture as best as they can. They tell the stranger about Jesus of Nazareth and all the hopes that they pinned on him. The huge expectations that he might be the one that would set the people free. And that those hopes were not completely unfounded. They weren't without reason. Here was someone who said things, someone who did things that marked him out. Marked him out at the very least as a mighty servant of God, like the prophets of old. And then they spoke about how quickly and how completely those expectations had unravelled. He'd been handed over, he'd been sentenced to death, he'd been crucified. And yet they still had more to say and more to share, but with a lot less certainty than the certain fact of that death. There were rumours, there were reports flying around about a tomb without a body, the woman and their experience of getting there. Jesus wasn't there. And talk of a vision of angels and various corroborating testimonies from others, and yet in the midst of all, just total confusion. And this stranger on the way listens patiently. It's a good quality to have for a companion on the road. And he does nothing to give away the fact that the one they have been talking about is the same person they are now talking with. And then finally, when the stranger breaks into the conversation, he speaks in the strongest terms. He doesn't mince his words. He says, "How foolish you are. How naive. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Now, this is a bold statement. This is a brave thesis to defend. This stranger is suggesting that somehow all those dashed expectations, all the painful disappointments of the last few days, all the chaotic events and all the questions that were open and unresolved, all the broken pieces might yet be held together as part of God's good and God's revealed plan for his people. Now, perhaps you know what it's like to look around you and simply see fragments everywhere, where there's nothing fixed in its right place. Everything is confused and confusing. And yet, while they walk along the road, this stranger proceeds to carefully put all these pieces together. All that they'd hoped for, all that they have seen, all that they have heard and not yet understood, helping them to see what God had promised and what Jesus, the Messiah, had done. Taking all these loose ends and knitting them together into one cohesive whole. This is the word of God bringing order out of chaos, light into the darkness. You know, what a conversation. Looking back, they would speak to one another of how their hearts burned within them as this stranger spoke to them and showed them things and taught them. It wasn't just chit-chat, small talk. It wasn't even a pep talk, even if that's what it seemed they needed. This was searing truth. Kind of message that gets right under your skin. This was scripture brought to life. This was a living word. And so it came to the point where they'd run out of miles to walk before they had exhausted all that this stranger could share with them and show them. And so they shared what they had. They extended an invitation for him to join them in their home. A very simple gesture of hospitality, and it was eagerly accepted, perhaps no surprise after the journey. The still unrecognized Jesus was to be their guest. And in what follows in that ordinary home, we see the drama of resurrection. So they're there, it's been a long walk, it's been a draining few days, no doubt hungry from the road. And Jesus, the guest, assumes the role of the host. He takes their bread. He gives thanks to God, blessing it. He breaks it. And he gives it to them, inviting them to eat. And finally, their unseeing eyes see that it is Jesus who is with them. That they, these confused, tired, hungry, scared, ordinary people in their homes are invited to share a meal, to share time, to share their space, to share all that they are with the one who died but who lives. And as the bread is blessed and broken, they get a sense that the one who was broken for them now would share his blessing with them. This beautiful story, this Easter story, orientates us to see the Jesus that we so often fail to see. The risen Jesus who joins us where we are. So yeah, how does life feel for you this Easter Sunday? Perhaps trudging along with your head hung low. Perhaps that would be a good day. You've ground to a halt. Perhaps you're busy, frantic, with all the things that need to be done at work, at home, at church, anywhere, everywhere. We might find ourselves recognising that we feel like we are merely existing and not truly living. Or it might be better than that. And Jesus sees us as we are. All those strengths, all those weaknesses, all those hopes and plans and all the disappointments we carry with us. Our dreams, our blind spots, all of it. And the risen Jesus will listen as we speak to him. Listen as we share what's on our minds, the things that are neat and tidy and the things that are messy and broken and confused. He offers answers, but he listens first. And when we invite the risen Jesus into our lives, our space, our time, before you know it, he is the one assuming the role of the host. And he takes what we have, whatever that might be, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it back to us. And as we receive it, we find that we have all that we truly need and all that we long for. In a world that so often dishes up bitter medicine, dust and disappointment, the risen Jesus invites us to taste and to see that the Lord is good. He doesn't just offer us fuel so that we can exist and survive and persist. He invites us to share in a life with others where there's meaning, where there is friendship, where there is purpose, where we taste and see that the Lord is good. They saw, they recognized it was the risen Lord Jesus, and they got up and they went and they told others. This is the good news of Easter Sunday. I want to finish by reading to you a sonnet, a poem, as if addressed to Jesus, written by Malcolm Geat. It's called Emmaus Number 2. And do you ask what I'm speaking of, although you know the whole tale of my heart, its longing and its loss, its hopeless love? You walk beside me now and take my part, as though a stranger, one who doesn't know the pit of disappointment, the despair, the jolts and shudders of my letting go, my aching for the one who isn't there. And yet you know my darkness from within. My cry of dereliction is your own. You bore the isolation of my sin, alone that I need never be alone. Now you reveal the meaning of my story, that I who burn with shame might blaze with glory. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
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 Jesus is alive, it's a happy day. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Let's have a party and celebrate.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
It's a happy day.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Jesus is alive.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
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 Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good.
Taste and see that 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 the Lord is good.
A cat.
A cat? Do you think so?
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
He sent his son to die and rise again to save us. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. He's broken our chains and given us freedom. Give thanks to God, for he is good. In him we are alive and have joy everlasting. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. He casts out all fear and fills us with courage. Give thanks to God, for he is good. When storms come and rage, his peace overwhelms us. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. The Lord is our refuge when trouble surrounds us. Give thanks to God, for he is good. He's always pouring out his abundant provision. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. For the depths of his riches and incredible wisdom. Give thanks to God, for he is good.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Amen.